What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
All right, we got some big running back news around the NFL and the fantasy community. Le'Veon Bell is lighter. The workload for Todd Gurley might be a little bit lighter in training camp. Josh Jacobs, can he actually catch 60 passes? I'll take the under, but hey, he wants to get there. And Marlon Mack, we have some insight on the Colts running back situation with Frank Reich saying Mack is the starter, but that the running back situation is going to be week in, week out, hot hand, all those things. That good news for Jonathan Taylor. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. You're listening on Saturday. It's Friday right now for us. Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Happy weekend, guys. How's it going?
It's going great.
It's going good. Yeah, I'm sitting right next to my pool that has yet to be built and wishing I was in it.
Don't dive into it, guys.
If I dive in, I'll go to the hospital.
Okay, cool. Well, we don't want that, Dave. Not a good time to be going to the hospital.
Well, some people might, it sounds like, but no.
All right, so we got all that running back news. We're going to talk about the tight end contracts as well and some tight end fantasy value. But, Dave, which running back news item do you think is the most consequential?
I don't know if any of them are consequential. I think the one that might have the most meaning, and by most, I mean not very much, is what's happening with Marlon Mack and the Colts. And the fact that they're saying that he's going to be the starter, and I think we knew that that was going to be the case and that Jonathan Taylor was going to mix with them, but those two are going to split rushing downs work to begin the season. Naheem Hines has the passing downs work. They know that they like him in that role. And it just makes me if I draft Jonathan Taylor, I've got to have the same mindset with him as I had with Miles Sanders and Devin Singletary last year. There is a chance that he will be almost worthless to my fantasy roster through the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season.
You think so?
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. You don't think so?
No, not at all. I think the hot hand was basically Jonathan Taylor, go get the job. It's yours.
Well, he's got to do it.
There's, Ben's talked about this a lot. Their schedule is favorable. Their run script should be favorable. Their offensive line is fantastic. Jonathan Taylor is not going to watch Marlon Mack get 20 plus touches. He's going to probably get almost an even rushing downs workload, would be my anticipation. And so once you see those two guys on the field and how they operate, Marlon Mack is a good player. I had Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts from The Athletic on Fantasy Football Today. And he said, you know, he thinks a little bit is being made too much of, and this is probably where Dave comes out in this, that Marlon Mack is going to sit on the bench. And I totally agree. He's not going to sit on the bench. But I don't think once you get to watch these two guys operate and what Jonathan Taylor looks like compared to what Marlon Mack looks like, you're going to see a different player. And so my guess is Frank Reich is not wanting to say, which he shouldn't, because, again, Marlon Mack hasn't been bad by any stretch. But you got a chance to upgrade at the position. And so I think we'll see Marlon Mack do his thing. But I don't think it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks by any stretch for Jonathan Taylor to be in your fantasy lineup. I think it's going to be probably 2 or 3 weeks before we start to use him.
Well, that's optimistic. And I never said that either of these guys would get 20 carries on their own, but it could be a situation where Taylor only gets like 10 in week one and 12 in week two. Like, I don't think he's coming in house of fire. Like, he gets the hot tag from from Randy Savage, and then it's Hogan clearing house. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think you're going to see a legitimate split. And if he makes any mistakes, that split's going to last longer. And I think the fact that the schedule being easy, which I agree with, I think that helps Max stay on the field longer because he shouldn't struggle. There's not going to be an excuse for him to get booted off until Taylor does something to boot him off.
So follow up on this. Okay, we've seen, like, let's take Joe Mixon's rookie year. I'm just going to pull up his game log. But I think it was week 3 or 4 when they were like, all right, it's your turn, Joe Mixon. And then he was basically the guy, as I recall. Nick Chubb didn't really hit any work until they traded Carlos Hyde, and then they completely turned Nick Chubb loose. When the time comes, if the time comes, that Jonathan Taylor is basically the starter, does he get 15 touches? Because I think we are already a little concerned about his involvement in the passing game, at least on third downs, because of Nyheim Hines. But what does he fall into this kind of trap where he's just kind of like gets 13 carries, one or two catches, and isn't super valuable? Like, he's worth starting. You know what I mean? Does he ever get a full workload? Yeah, right. Right. Because it's not like Mac's going to completely go away. Do you think that Jonathan Taylor ever gets thrust into a role where he's just dominating touches?
No, I don't think we're going to see more than, you know, 15 to 18 on an optimistic scenario if Mac is healthy. And I know I said this a few weeks ago. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Mac starts to cut into Hines' work on passing downs, and maybe that's something that they do to keep him involved. Because, look, Hines has averaged 54 catches each of the last two seasons. He hasn't done a lot with it. And so, you know, I'm a optimistic Nyheim Hines observer. You know, I'm hoping that he can be successful in this passing downs role that we've seen from Phillip Rivers, who has gotten, I think it's 6 running backs, at least 75 or more targets in the season. And maybe Mac is that guy, because they did use him more in a passing downs role as a rookie than they have in the previous two seasons. So we'll see where Taylor's workload comes out. But I just think that when you watch these two guys and how one should run versus how one has run, behind this offensive line with a, you know, better quarterback scenario, I think we're going to see Jonathan Taylor force Frank Reich's hand to say, okay, this is your hot hand. Why are you not giving me the ball more? So maybe the Joe Mixon scenario, maybe it's what, you know, Mark Ingram was a year ago, where he wasn't getting a ton of work, but he was so efficient with that work. You know, that's what I'm hoping for with Jonathan Taylor. Taking him in round 3 is a mistake. Taking him in round 4 is if you're, you know, in the camp of this is going to be the best running back for the Colts and maybe one of the best running backs of the season. Taking him around 5 is a steal.
Okay. And Joe Mixon, by the way, 8 carries in week 1 as a rookie, 9 carries in week 2. And then the next 3 weeks, 18, 17, and 15 carries with a combined 7 catches in those 3 games. He didn't actually do that well. And then his workload was reduced a little bit. But it was week 3 when they said, all right, Joe Mixon, it's your turn. Dalvin Cook, yeah. I think, like, right out of the gate got some.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He was different, right? He was the one right out of the gate from Minnesota. There's one other point that I just have to make here, and it's pro Jonathan Taylor. When Nyheim Hines was a rookie, Colts put him on the field right away, and he wasn't a ballyhooed second-round pick. He was a day 3 pick, and they were using him. He had a lot of catches right away as a rookie. So if the Colts are willing to do that with Nyheim Hines, then – Taylor should be able to play a lot as a rookie too. So the opportunity, it's really just going to come down to if something happens to Mac, something happens to Hines, doors open for Taylor to go and run wild. And I'm not downplaying his talent either. I just hope he can hold on to the football.
Yeah.
Be better as a pass catcher. And then he'd be amazing. He could end up being a top 12 running back if he really gets a huge opportunity.
All right, Jamie, Le'Veon Bell says he was a little complacent last year. He's lost weight. He's not making excuses. And Todd Gurley, they might be limiting his workload in training camp. And his workload was already pretty limited last year. His carries per game were way down. His yards per catch, his yards per carry were awful compared to years past. And we know there's this chronic knee issue. So who do you now take earlier, Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley?
I'm still going to take Todd Gurley, but if we get to a point where, you know, the thing about the limiting his workload didn't really worry me as much, because why would you want to overwork him in this scenario of things? You know, he's got to get the install of the offense and knowing what he's doing, but he spent a lot of time with Matt Ryan after what Ryan told us on CBS Sports HQ. I think if the thing that came out of this story about him at some point walking with a noticeable limp is the problem, then that's the bigger concern. So if that continues to be an issue and you continue to hear those type of reports, you know, they said when he was in the drills, he looked fine, but you know, whatever is maybe bothering him is bothering him off the field. That would be the bigger concern for me. Le'Veon Bell is not necessarily a Le'Veon Bell issue. Le'Veon Bell is an Adam Gase issue. And so if Adam Gase can commit to Le'Veon Bell, I think he could have a good season, maybe a great season. But
he did commit to him. He did commit to him last year, and he was terrible. He was still useful in fantasy, though.
But he committed to him last year almost by default. Remember, Bilal Powell was hurt. They didn't really have anybody else to sort of turn to.
Whatever the reason is, I mean, he got a full workload. You cannot have any complaints about the amount of work Le'Veon Bell got, and he was only good because of the workload, but he was really bad.
Right.
Yeah, it's worst year ever.
Yeah.
But look, they revamped their entire offensive line. I don't think it could be worse. You lost Sam Darnold for 3 games. Again, I've said this time and time again. We don't know when he was healthy coming back, you know, from the mono situation. You know, when was he 100%? They add 2 receivers to replace 1. They get their tight end back on the field who has a chance to be really good.
And this is all good for Le'Veon Bell?
This is very good for Le'Veon Bell.
The fact that they have better receivers and the tight end's healthy.
Well, what did he have in Pittsburgh? Did he have a bad team around him or a good team around him?
He was a different player, and he had a great offensive line.
Yes, and this offensive line will be better than what it was a year ago because
It
can't be worse. That offensive line was
true. That's why I like stop myself
there.
Do you guys think that
either Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley are good anymore?
I think if Le'Veon were in the right situation, he could be a top 12 fantasy running back again.
I like that Le'Veon lost weight. I think that's always a much better situation. You know, this is not a Ronald Jones criticism, but I think whenever running backs put on weight as opposed to what they do when they lose weight, you always see them come in and they have better seasons. It happened to Le'Veon Bell. He said he was overweight in his rookie season. He came back his second season and he had a monster campaign. I'm reading a report right now from Rich Simini, who covers the Jets for ESPN. Le'Veon Bell says he's in the best shape of his career, getting a lot of early run. He looks frisky, burst on outside runs. And so, you know, there's a pattern that's forming here of he rededicated himself. He comes in the weight he played in high school. There's motivation there. Remember, he took a year off. So we don't know how much rust there was from last year and just how bad
that impacted. You're buying it. You're in on Le'Veon Bell.
I haven't changed my rankings. I haven't changed the way I did draft him was it Twitch? I think it might have been Twitch draft. But in round 4, and in some cases round 5, it's the same conversation we have with Leonard Fournette. Sometimes you just take value when it's presenting you in the face. And so he's going to get work. Frank Gore is going to ruin him to a certain extent. This is what I mean by an Adam Gase problem. Yeah. So we're going to see Le'Veon come off the field in some situations that are going to be really frustrating. But he's still going to get the most work of that backfield. He's still going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of opportunities. It's just, what will Adam Gase do to ruin what Le'Veon Bell's ceiling could be? And so that's the problem you have with Le'Veon Bell, for me at least.
Okay. So you guys are still Gurley over Bell, though.
I am in non-PPR. I can't do it in full PPR. And they're back-to-back in non-PPR, so I'm not going to beat you down with the baseball bat if you say that you'll take Bell first. But the offensive line's going from the worst in the league or second worst in the league to maybe it's still in the bottom 10 for sure. And he had a career low in touches last year, 20.7 per game. Like we talked about, that's what carried him the finish that he had. And Gore averages around 10 carries per game when he's on a team. And there was evidence of that when he was with Gase in Miami. He did that last year in Buffalo, although that did slide a little bit toward the end of the year. It is going to hurt Le'Veon. And Michael Pirine could end up hurting Le'Veon. This is a mess. I want Le'Veon to get traded. Let him get traded. Let him go to a team that's a playoff contender, and let him run his patient style behind a better offensive line. Then I'll be way more excited about him.
I'll still take Gurley in both, as long as, again, this doesn't seem to become a worse situation for his knee. The one thing about it is his passing game work could bounce back in a big way with the Falcons.
That's true.
All the throwing that they're going to do. And Matt Ryan was so excited about it. You know, you could just tell in his voice, like, we're going to do some different things with him in the offense. And, you know, Matt Tabeek, who covers the Falcons, also joined us on HQ. And he said the same thing, that they're going to be a little bit more creative in their opportunities with him in the past game. So I don't know if he gets back to, again, Pete Gurley, 2017 Gurley, even the early part of 2018 Gurley. But if he can get close to that 50 catch threshold, which I think he can, then you're going to be happy about it.
He was terrible working out of the backfield as a pass catcher last year. He just didn't get as many opportunities. I think the opportunities do go up. And I'm not sure how to process Dan Quinn saying that he's going to have two running backs as his number two running back, that he's going to have Ito Smith and Brian Hill kind of split that role. Right. Like, he didn't even mention the other guys that he's got. He's got Kadre Allison and the last guy there, name escapes me right now, but they're kind of deeper running back. They've Brian got Hill. This big battle. Yeah, thank you. They've got this big battle for who's going to end up really being the number two. But if they've got two guys as the number two, I mean, does that really mean that they've got three guys in that backfield? And until Ito gets hurt, of course, and then they're back down to two. Gurley still makes me nervous. Still not somebody I'm excited to draft. But if he's there at the right part in the draft, if he's there, you know, round four, round five, the same range as Le'Veon, you got to look at him. You got to consider him. He's still a number two running back based on, you know, optimism that he gets a lot of work and a better offense.
Wrapping
Not
this
a
up,
better offense, should, a better rushing offense.
Should we take James Conner and Chris Carson ahead of both Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Then,
as long as Carson's situation is okay, he's dealing with a death in the family, left the team. You know, hopefully he's back soon. Obviously, our thoughts are with his scenario that he's dealing with. But
I think Melvin Gordon should go ahead of them too.
Guys, we have a lot more to get to and not that much time, so we're gonna go quicker here. Josh Jacobs saying he wants to catch 60 passes this year, 60 or more. Did that make you move him up at all?
No, but I was already excited about him, and this is, I think, just another affirmation of they're going to involve him in the passing game more. He's not getting 60 catches. That's just ridiculous. But does he now have a chance for in the 30 to 40 range? I think so. You know, for a guy that had 20 catches as a rookie in 13 games, they're going to use Jalen Richard. We don't know what they're going to do with Lynn Bowden, but I think
Bowden,
the rookie.
Lynn B.
They're going to clearly make an attempt to get Josh Jacobs the ball in the passing game more. So he is a easy first round pick in non PPR leagues, and he should be a first round pick in PPR as well.
Here's a quote from John Gruden. We've got to get more out of Josh as a receiver. That was from September 23rd, 2019. What happened in the four games after that quote? He had 10 catches for 74 yards in four games. That would have obviously been a 40 catch pace. I think 60 is a little much, but I do think he can improve on the rate that he had last year. His receptions went down after those four games. It's like Gruden forgot he even said anything. But I think if you pencil him in for 35 catches, I think that's safe. That's improvement. That's good. He's definitely a first round pick in non PPR.
Is he in PPR, Devontae Adams or Josh Jacobs?
Adams for me.
In PPR, Adams.
Travis Kelce or Josh Jacobs?
Jacob.
I will take Kelce.
Oh, interesting. Okay, and that's your running back news. Some quick wide receiver notes. John Ross is on the reserve COVID-19 list. Hopefully he's back soon. And Doug Peterson said that Greg Ward is in the mix at wide receiver. He was certainly usable at the end of last year, Greg Ward, but they have more mouths to feed now. Do you buy this? Do you buy any fantasy relevance for Greg Ward for the Eagles?
Last pick in a best ball. It probably wouldn't hurt.
Receiving core to potentially avoid.
Thanks for telling me this now, Dave, when I've just finished my best ball draft. God, ridiculous.
Who was your last pick?
Mine was Alshon.
I think it was Amir Abdullah because of the return yards, and I'm just hoping he gets return yards.
You should have taken Greg Ward.
Maybe. He had a pretty good finish.
Jamie, you got Alshon with your last pick?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think I did too. I think that's who I took. Or at least I meant to. You know what?
He's still on the board in mine.
I like how I said it after a receiving court to avoid, but in best ball, it's
not. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that was round 20.
Yeah.
Let's see. Team roster. Did I get Alshon Jeffrey? I got Josh Jacobs, I'll tell you that.
Did you?
And his 35 receptions.
No, I did not get him. So I totally lied to you. I got KJ
Hamler.
You're
still going, Dave?
What's up?
Yours is still going?
We still got three more rounds.
Wow.
I think Nick Foles was my last pick, actually. Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway.
That might be okay.
In this best ball draft, I got Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs with my first two picks. I had the 11th pick.
Excellent.
And last night, you know me. You know how I love Miles Sanders. Last night, I was just watching Miles Sanders highlights, and I was just smiling. I was like, this is going to be so fun.
Don't you usually save that for Saturday nights?
He is so good in the passing game. That's what I was noticing. I mean, he gets downfield. He's a killer on wheel routes. They will use him in the past.
Play against Buffalo?
Everything. What he did against Dallas.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Miles Sanders. Edwards-Helaire versus Miles Sanders. And it's like, I think if everything goes absolutely right for both of them, Clyde's probably better. But I do think Sanders has a higher floor. Do you guys agree with that?
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, there's no scenario where Sanders is not a workhorse, I feel.
No, he should be. I mean, I don't think that Boston Scott or Corey Clement are going to take him off the field for significant stretches.
All right, well, I'm done drooling. So more news. No Saints fans for the home opener. Chicago safety Eddie Jackson is going to play some wide receiver. That's weird. Joe Montana had a good quote about Jimmy Garoppolo. He thinks he's going to be better without the knee brace. And Montana said, I had 6 cleanouts in my knee, and they wanted me to wear a brace, and you just can't get used to it. Hopefully you see a fresher, different player this year, although he had a pretty good year last year. I'm looking forward to him doing the same thing. All right.
Didn't Brady get used to wearing a knee brace?
I guess, but this is Montana. Montana's like the greatest quarterback ever. What the hell is Tom Brady? Will Disley's practicing. The Cowboys.
That was cool. That's cool.
Is it cool? Yeah.
I think, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening there. They're going to have a lot of tight ends to mix and match. I don't know if any of them will be good for fantasy, but they'll help Russ.
Every time Disley has played, he's been good. He just gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Cowboys signed Everson Griffin. They have a very interesting defensive line of guys who are probably past their prime, but could be really good.
I don't think Everson Griffin's necessarily past his prime. I think he can still get a very good year out of him.
You know what? That's what I thought, but how does he go this far without getting any contract? You know what I mean?
Because
he's still unsigned.
Right.
But he's going to sign for a lot more than
Griffin.
He's
got a pretty fair deal. No, I don't think I don't know if he'll have that opportunity to. But I think people were worried about Griffin's mental state after what happened in Minnesota.
Maybe. Well, it was a good signing, I think, for the Cowboys for sure. Xavien Howard, Miami cornerback, he's on the reserve COVID-19 list. Let's see. Kima Sivirind for the Seahawks, rookie special teamer. He has been waived for sneaking a girl into the team hotel and disguising her as a Seahawks player or a member of the team. I don't know. Very strange.
I got some stuff from the conversations we've had with some beat writers, if you like.
I think you guys have to go soon, and I need to read emails. So we'll save those. Yeah, that's pretty much all we need. And then Kelsey and Kittle signing their contracts. And then we have this Twitter question from the Fantasy Football Today account at FF Today. Which tight end price is your favorite? Kelsey early round 2, Kittle late round 2, Ertz early round 4, Andrews late round 4. Would you vote for?
Andrews.
Hey, that's what I voted for. And that's the leader right now. Andrews 39% of the vote, Kittle 32%, Ertz 16%, Kelsey 13.5%.
Wow, Kelsey's last at early round 2. I thought for sure he'd be second to Andrews. But it's not round 1. Still getting a really good player before you get Kelsey.
Yeah, I guess people don't really see that big of a difference between Kittle and Kelsey, and they're going to go with Kittle in late round 2 compared to Kelsey in early round 2. All right, let's read some emails here at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. First, we're going to take a quick break. Come back and read your emails and your Apple Podcast questions.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Email here from Terrence. On your podcast, could you give a little detail on when it comes to formats? Is my draft in my half PPR draft based more closely to non or full PPR?
I think it just depends on the player, you know, so Derrick Henry, I think is, you know, not as dinged in this format. James White gets a little bit of a boost, you know, as a result as well. So it just kind of comes down to player specific for me.
But if you're looking for a rankings guide, I'd probably lean toward PPR
yes.
than non-PPR.
The one player that I feel like I've identified as like having, for me, a lot more solidified value in half PPR is Mixon. Because he's not Henry. He's not going to get 20 catches. He's going to be more like 35, maybe 40 catches. And
he's got upside to get more than that. I don't sure. know if he necessarily will.
Sure, but based on the last couple of years, 35, 40 catches maybe would be a safe estimate for Mixon. And in half PPR, I mean, that's really not that big of a downgrade from like Zeke and Barkley, who might be around 60 catches, you know? So I don't know. I feel like I feel like Mixon, since he's kind of in between the high catch running backs and the low catch running backs, half PPR, first round pick?
Mixon?
Yeah.
Mixon's a first round pick in any format.
Correct.
You think? Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Then second email from Mark. In a city where Giordano's is not a top 10 choice.
New York.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, it's among the top choices for me, no matter what city I'm in.
Well, you've never been to New York then. Dear, oh, my mommy, Bambi and Rudolph.
Those are Kyle's.
They are deers. Why do we keep splitting Cooper Kupp season in half instead of thirds? In his last 5 weeks, he caught 27 of 30 targets for 5 touchdowns.
I don't know.
It's going to be, I'll tell you, man, that Kupp, Higby, the numbers are going to be so fascinating because I don't know if both can be sustainable.
Higby, you mean from the last 5 weeks of the season?
I don't think Kupp is going to be as, you know, not as uninvolved as he was. And I don't think Higby's going to be as good as he was. Well, that goes without saying, but I don't know
how.
I don't know if he's going to be half as good as he was.
Well, even if he's half as good as he was, that's still really, really good. I think Kupp is a no-brainer. I can't stop drafting him. I think that he's still a candidate for 90 catches and big time red zone threat. Higby could take a little bit away from him. Yeah. Contract year too. But I think Higby, even if he did 50% of what he did in those last 5 games, would be good enough to use as a reliable starter week in and week out. I think he can be better than 50%, not as good as 100%. He's not getting 11 targets per game, but I do think he's got a chance to really be one of those top 5 fantasy tight ends. I think he could be the next Kittle. I look at him, I see a lot of things that Kittle does.
Why did it take so long though? That's a problem.
Because the Rams had a better running game, certainly a more reliable running game. They wanted him to block in that regard. I think they tried to get Gerald Everett going first. And I think that experiment is still, you know, going on. I don't know if Everett's going to end up being great ever. But they've got a lot of other wide receivers. They have Brandon Cooks on top of Woods and Kupp. And I think the decision to feed those guys and attack downfield with them versus utilize Higby, who's not as fast as a wide receiver, I think that made sense. But even when Cooks came back, they weren't using him the same way. He wasn't as effective, and they just started to use Higby, and their offense kind of perked up. Goff started to play better. Their matchups were better as well. They are going to have a lot of those same matchups this year. You can say what you want about Seattle and Arizona improving their secondary. Seattle especially will be tougher. But I still see Higby as an ascender, and I think he'll be good. If you're drafting him in round 7, round 8, or later, you're doing awesome.
Colin from Brew City says, hey, Curly, Vince, Mike, and Matt. Packers coaches. Come on, guys. Come on.
Yes.
If I draft enough running backs to act as starters earlier in the draft, is there a point in drafting a floor pick like Tariq Cohen to sit on my bench? My instinct is to prefer high upside handcuffs or rookies who could be league winners rather than someone who is more likely to be a low-grade bye week replacement than anything else.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's a good
thing about Tariq Cohen that's going to be interesting is with John DeFilippo there, because we know what he likes to do with his running backs and throw into those guys. And so, you know, it's going to hopefully help David Montgomery clearly. But, you know, if Tariq Cohen gets back to anything that he was 2 years ago, then he's going to end up being a low-end starter in PPR.
Just DeFilippo's not the play caller this time.
Yeah, but he's got an influence on the offense.
I don't know if he's got that big enough of an influence on the offense. It is what I would, you know, I'm just some, you know, big fat bumbling fantasy guy, but that's what I would do if I were in Chicago is as soon as you realize Montgomery's not getting it done, just start throwing more to Cohen, let him make plays.
One day I will reiterate just how unprecedented the success that Cohen had in 2018 was, but not today. More emails from Cameron. 10-team PPR league, 10th pick. In my mock drafts, I've gotten a lot of Julio Jones. I feel he's a very safe pick at 10. Then I usually take Mixon or Sanders with my next pick. Who would you target with the last pick of the first round and the first pick of the second round?
I would target Sanders or Mixon and then hope to get Julio in round two.
No, it's a 10-team league, so he has the back-to-back picks.
Oh, okay. Well, then, honestly, then I'd probably go Mixon and Sanders.
Not bad. I'd put Josh Jacobs in there, too.
And I don't know where Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going, but if he falls to 10...
he should be in that mix too, sure.
Yeah. This is John in a city north of Richmond, Virginia.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Dear Trent, Joe, Elvis, and Tony.
Those are our Chiefs.
Yeah. I'm in a pickle. I'm in a 12-team PPR Superflex. No, worst food ever. Superflex Keeper League. I don't have a first or a second round pick, but I do have Lamar Jackson. I've been offered 1.5 and 2.12 for Lamar. 1.5 could be Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, and theoretically pick 2.12 as someone in the late fourth. Do you think this is a fair offer for Lamar Jackson? I'm also keeping Zeke.
Yes.
No. It's a super flex. So I would say quarterbacks carry more value there. We've done super flex mocks where Lamar Jackson goes earlier than in a one quarterback league. I think he carries a little bit more value here.
Wait a sec. Oh, never mind. Never mind.
He's trying to get Lamar Jackson, right?
No, he's got Lamar.
No, he's got Lamar.
Don't give him up for that. I'm sorry.
Adam, do you dislike relish as well as pickles or just pickles?
I don't know that I've ever had relish, but it doesn't look like something
God,
I like.
Man.
I could tell by the look that I wouldn't like it.
What kind of sheltered life have you lived? Have you ever had ketchup and mustard?
At the same time? I don't think I've ever had them at the same time.
What?
But I've had them separately, yeah. I don't really like mustard, and I do like ketchup. Okay, these are some quick Apple Podcast questions from Trap from AK. Keep two in PPR. Mahomes, Josh Jacobs, DJ Moore, Leonard Fournette.
Jacobs and Moore.
Does the rounds matter?
No.
Jacobs and Moore.
From Cody Chris. I traded Miles Sanders and Will Fuller. Oh my gosh, Ben Gretsch hates you. I traded Miles Sanders and Will Fuller for Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp. I only have Montgomery, Dobbins, Michelle, Gibson, and Freeman at running back now.
Why does Ben hate him? He loves Tyreek Hill.
Everybody loves Tyreek Hill, and Cooper Kupp is going to be good for a long time. I assume this is a keeper league. I say it's a good trade.
Yes, now turn around and trade Tyreek Hill or Cooper Kupp for a running back. But yeah, you got better value. From Phoenix, 0424. What? You know, when I was younger, ketchup was the default condiment for hot dogs, by the way. And at some point, that switched to mustard, and I don't really appreciate that. I'm joining a very deep PPR Superflex Dynasty League. I wanted to know how to value wide receivers versus quarterbacks. I know Superflex leagues value quarterback much higher, but we start four wide receivers and a tight end wide receiver slot and two flex along with two quarterbacks. Wow.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
So at this point, when I see that, I kind of throw out position scarcity as a factor in drafts. And I almost default to best player available because you're going to be able to start all your first, goodness, like eight picks in your draft.
Yeah. So are you thinking in a league like this where you have to start four wide receivers, you can start up to seven and it is super flex it's super flex.
So I'm in a league like that where we start five wide receivers, super flex and another flex option. So it's not far off.
Yeah.
Is the question starting quarterbacks in the Superflex?
And it's PPR. No, it's
no, just it's, do you go after quarterbacks earlier or do you target receivers earlier?
So the startup, this is a dynasty league. So the startup draft, I think I got Carson Wentz in his rookie year in like round 7 or 8, like where you would be getting Joe Burrow. I'm trying to think who I took first. I took Matt Ryan, I think maybe like round 4 or 5. So scoring matters too. You know, it's this is a 5-point for passing touchdown league. So I think that some of you got to take into account. But, you know, you want to get one or I'd say probably 2 of your top 15 quarterbacks.
Right.
Relatively soon.
Yeah. But it's not a situation where like you want 2 top 5 quarterbacks. So you do need to build at the other positions, right?
Especially with the receivers. Yeah, like my first pick was Mike Evans.
Did you see how many managers are in the league?
I don't know, but it's 28-man roster, 4 taxi squad spots. You are really devaluing quarterback. It's PPR, and you're starting so many players. So just keep that in mind.
I will say this, though. It sounds like it's a dynasty league. In our league, and this is a league with other analysts, the rookie draft is always like Tua, Herbert, obviously Joe Burrow. Those guys were like top 8 picks.
Wow. All right. Well, we're out of here. Thank you guys for doing this bonus episode. Very much appreciated. Make sure you're all watching Fantasy Football Today live noon Eastern, Monday through Friday on CBS Sports HQ. Download the HQ app. And this is your last day, last chance really to get that our TV giveaway. So go to cbssports.com/giveaway. Get yourself a big screen TV. Link is in the episode description. For Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. Hope you enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.
Hey, Mock Draft
Monday. Yes.
4 more Sundays.
Ooh, nice. Nice. All right. That's it. We're done. Thanks for interrupting my awesome outro. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.